You know, when the museum was in process, they were doing two things. They were creating or producing interviews in order to create an archive, as well as to be able to use interviews in exhibitions. Because I think the museum felt that it was very important to have individual stories, not simply have a grander picture of the Holocaust or the way the historian tells the story, but rather how individual people tell the story, because they felt that individuals coming to the museum would need to hear the individual story, that that would make the Holocaust more understandable, because the individual story is different than what you get when you do the macro picture. It gives you another insight into experiences, because there is no one Holocaust story. And this individuation of the story helps you to understand that you can't just make these huge generalizations and know that everybody experienced the same thing, because they didn't. And you only get that through oral history. And I think that's the basic reason why we do it. We're lucky enough to be able to record these interviews. We can't do it for historical events so many years ago, that we don't have that kind of a record. So even with all the problems that you get in oral history, namely there are memory problems, there are lapses in memories, people make mistakes, still there's something about that personal story that gives you a dimension you can't get in any other way. With all of its shortcomings, there's something very important in that personal tale being told in the way that an oral historian can get it. Most of us never sit with somebody for 5 or 6 hours where they're only interested in listening to us. So you get a very different feel of a person because you get so many dimensions of their lives. And so it's very important to have that as a record. And let me just add one more thing to that. The oral history is not a refined record. A memoir is very refined. There's also something very raw about the oral history, which I think also makes it compelling. As much as memoirs are very compelling, the refinement of the writing and the editing of the writing is very different than what you will see on the screen or listen when you hear an oral history. So it becomes extremely immediate. I think there's something very special about stories, which is why novels are so important to people. And although historians can often write good narratives, often they don't, and people don't tend to read a lot of history. But they identify a great deal with the personal story of somebody. And when you watch an oral history or you watch portions of an oral history, it brings out the event in a way that you can identify with that most people can't identify when they read a book, or even when they see some documentaries. But the documentaries that have people's stories in them are extremely compelling. And so I think the few places that we have in the permanent exhibition where we tell those stories is very important. Historians can dismiss oral histories. A lot of historians find using oral histories extremely difficult. So sometimes the dismissal has to do with the enormous amount of work you have to do in order to get some things out of an oral history. And I think historians are looking for different things in writing their books or their articles. They're looking for factual records more than they are for personal insights. And you don't get that much factually from an oral history. What you do get is a personal insight and a personal experience. And if the historian is not going to write about that, they're not going to want to watch. The museum wanted to create an archive. That was from the get-go. It is true that in the beginning, a lot of these interviews were thought that they would be part of exhibitions, which they often are. But we've also created perhaps the second largest archive of oral histories in the world. We have over 8,000 testimonies now. And we ourselves have produced about 1,800 interviews. So it's a very important site for both scholars and students and filmmakers to come. And when there will be no survivors left, it's these kinds of archives that will make a difference. we do oral histories in a formal way. We don't do oral histories with just our family members, because many of us either don't have family members who are around, or they didn't experience the Holocaust. We do it with people who are essentially strangers. So the question is, what do you do within the context of your family? And maybe it's very important that people think about, we like to hear the stories of our family members, but we often don't record them and don't have them in some more formal way. And we do have guidelines that can help people to create oral histories. And even if they're not professionally done, they can be very important, even just inside a family. So I would hope that people might look at our website and take some direction from those guidelines.